Hello, and welcome to the second of three exciting NABBW teleseminars that we are hosting this month. In a moment, I will introduce today's guest, Ann Leach, a certified grief recovery specialist and owner of the website LifePreserversGriefSupport.com, who will be discussing five steps to holiday grief survival. But first, let me introduce myself and set the stage. For those of you who do not know me, I'm Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is found online at www.nabbw.com, and we have a forum at www.boomerwomenspeak.com. These two websites are the number one sites found via the major search engines when you search on the keywords Baby Boomer Women. If you're not a member of the NABBW, you're welcome to join us. You'll find a handy link on the front page of the NABBW website, which you can use to join. This call is an example of one of the many benefits we provide our members. We will have recordings of approximately 70 past teleseminars, which are yours with membership in NABBW, and this call is being recorded and will be added to that collection. You don't see these recordings on the site unless you're a member of the site. We keep them behind the members-only area. But join us, and you'll have access to all of this wonderful content that we have and that we continue to add to. We're doing right now three teleseminars a month. Now, as I said, this is the second of three teleseminars that we're hosting for November, so I'd like to just have a quick word on the rest of what we've had and will have this month. Earlier this week, we had a wonderful discussion with Dr. Diana Kirshner on the secrets of how boomers can find their own true love. Dr. Diana is the author of Love in 90 Days, and her information was fascinating, both for people who have never married or found love, or for people that have been widowed or divorced and are looking for a love a second or third time around. Now, next Tuesday, November 16th, we will be talking with Julie Hall, who's known as the Estate Lady, on her top 10 list for dealing with your parents' personal stuff. Those are her own official words, personal stuff. Julie is an estate expert who specializes in the dissolution and distribution of personal property. She spends her time helping families deal with their loved ones, as I said, lifetime accumulation of stuff. Julie is the author of two books on the topic, The Boomer Burden, Dealing with Your Parents' Lifetime Accumulation of Stuff, and The Companion Workbook, A Boomer's Guide to Cleaning Out Your Parents' Estate in 30 Days or Less, which really ought to be discussed at every Thanksgiving table this year, I think perhaps as an adjunct to today's discussion. That call will be an hour earlier at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which translates to 4 p.m. Pacific when you count all those hours backward throughout the passing through the country. I do hope that you think these calls, all of them are free teleseminars, are on exciting and interesting topics and that you'll sign up for them as well. Now, let me say a few words about the format of the call today. Please get yourself comfortable and make sure that in addition to having something to drink, you have paper and pencil to take notes, because the topics that Ann is going to be covering tonight are fascinating, and I know you'll want to have something to look back on after the call. For the next 30 minutes or so, I'll have the phone lines muted, and Ann and I will be talking. After that, I will open the lines for questions from you, the audience. If you have a question before the lines are open, please use the box on your computer screen to type in your questions. I'll be able to see them as they come in, and then I'll relay them to Ann. In a moment, I will give you some background on Ann's wonderful melange of experiences that have qualified her to know and teach and help people with the topic of grief recovery. And then she and I will spend about 30 minutes covering holiday grief and the topic of the day, five steps to holiday grief survival. So let's get started. As I said, Ann Leach is our guest today, and I am delighted to introduce her. Ann is a certified grief recovery specialist and an award-winning author. She lives in the Ozarks but works nationally via her organization and website, Life Preservers Grief Support. And that's spelled just as it sounds, LifePreserversGriefSupport.com. Life Preservers is a global grief support community designed to assist people in shifting their beliefs about death from fear and dread to acceptance and celebration. Her focus is healing the heart, loving no matter what, and celebrating the life of your deceased loved one. Anne gained experience with dealing with grief at a young age. She lost both parents to cancer, and by the time she was 16 years of age, had lost every male in her life through death. Anne's experiences with loss have shaped her approach to life, causing her to celebrate each moment and explore what's truly important for her life. And I think what she'll have to say is important for all of us to consider in our lives as well. After acquiring degrees in theater and journalism, Anne began her career as a publicist for professional theaters. She took a break from this to be her mother's caregiver, and after her mother's death, was motivated to get an advanced degree in psychology and counseling. At first, Anne worked with kids on drugs and with cancer patients, or with kids on drugs, not kids. I didn't quite say that right, but I think you understand. Then she became a freelance writer and now has combined all of these experiences to become a grief recovery coach. As with many of us, Anne says that all of her career experiences tie together. The journalism training helped her ask powerful questions when she's counseling clients, and the theater training allowed her to find creative ways to express herself with these same clients. Eventually, Anne started Life Preservers as a way to support caregivers. In fact, she says that her mother's death led her on a new spiritual journey that helped lay the foundation for Life Preservers. She wanted to provide support for caregivers, both during the time they are providing care and in the aftermath of the death of the loved one, because nothing like that was out there for her when she was a caregiver. And being as I've been talking to my mother on a weekly basis about the caregiving experiences that she's having, I realize that there is not enough support for caregivers, and caregivers really, really are doing wonderful work. And if you are a caregiver, you need to be getting support for yourself too. Kind of like on the airline when they say, you know, put your own mask on first before you help the person that might need help. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anyone else. Anne is a published author, and her new book, Come Out of Your Shell, Questions to Start a Death Discussion When All You'd Rather Do Is Clam Up, will be launched later this month. She promises to tell us more about it once I give her a chance to talk here this evening. Anne has recently decided to move away from working exclusively with grieving individuals and to step toward creating a global movement to help professionals in transforming grief into a life-giving experience. She has been guided to expand her mission to allow her to work with those who have an even greater network of customers and clients so that the message can move faster throughout the universe. When she's not working, Anne enjoys being in nature and by water, enjoying good conversations with friends, making jewelry, and being a visual practitioner. She captures key concepts from meetings and speeches in a visual way using common icons and words on large sheets of paper. Please help me welcome Anne Leach. Now, Anne, before I launch into my questions, I'd like to give you a brief opportunity to say something about what led you to write your latest book, the one I just mentioned, Come Out of Your Shell, Questions to Start a Death Discussion. And even though, of course, it hasn't been published yet, so I haven't had a chance to see it, I know you've said that you decided to write it after having a client mention that although Grandpa had died in the past year, no one was talking about him at the Thanksgiving table. So it seems like something that, as we're coming upon Thanksgiving here in the U.S. again, it's a timely time for your book to come out.
Yes, thank you. And first, let me just thank you for that wonderful introduction and for being willing to host this call and this topic. So many people shy away from it, so kudos to you for being willing to offer this service to the members. That's just great.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a topic that we need to talk more about.
Yes, yes. And I think it's also very appropriate that we're doing it on Veterans Day. And I know I join you and our members in honoring those who have served our country and remembering and just wishing peace and comfort to the families that have been left behind either due to death or the distance that currently separates them. So we keep them in our hearts and minds tonight as well.
I'm glad you brought that up because it hadn't been lost on me the fact that it was important that we're discussing this tonight on Veterans Day. But Anything more that you'd like to say about the book?
Well, I'm just very excited about it. I want to tell you about it a little bit later when we get into our tips, because I think that you'll see how that is so appropriate now. And yes, you're right. It was that experience of a client who said, you know, I went to the Thanksgiving dinner and there was this empty place at the table and it just hit me. And nobody was really talking about him, and that seemed kind of weird, but we were all nervous that, you know, the next everybody was going to get upset and start crying, and I just didn't know how to handle that. And so this is really my response, where I've created just some questions. Each page has a question, and the facing page has my thoughts on why it's important that we ask that question. And it's not all, you know, pleasant roses and good times. I've worded some of the questions in such a way that they can be teachable moments for all of us, and to recognize that nobody's perfect, but there can be reasons behind our actions and our thoughts, and being able to openly discuss those can be a powerful transformation for the family and friends of that loved one.
Excellent. Thank
you.
Now, I know that we have a lot to cover in our time here, so why don't I begin with my first question.
Okay.
And that is, what do you think makes the holidays a particularly tough time for grieving families?
Well, that's a good question, and I think actually I just kind of alluded to that. You know, first of all, I think there's so much focus on connection and family. You know, whether that was our reality or not. I mean, I think the media is our mirror. We take our clues from the commercials, and we pin our whole picture of the holiday on how we think things should be. And it's so weird, because even though we may not feel any real connection to our blood relatives the rest of the year, all of a sudden we're expected to have this instant love and happiness with them and for them one or two days of the year when we all gather together. And, you know, in today's society, when we're all so busy, we're eating on the run, we're in and out of the door, taking the kids to their activities and fulfilling our social commitments and working late, we hardly have time to sit down as a family for that meal and enjoy a conversation together. And so then when we do have these opportunities to do that, it really is a visual reminder that things have changed. He or she isn't there. And, you know, we just don't like change that well. Yeah. So I think that's really the crux of it for me anyway.
Okay. Well, now that's the family side of things, but I think we now need to consider our friends as well, because I think most of us just want to be supportive to our friends who have lost someone who is important to them. But I know that I've been saddened going through the NABBW forum at Boomer Women Speak. In the past month, it seems like so many of the people have been who have become, you know, my friends, even though in a lot of them I have never actually met them. I only know them online through the forum. But so many of them have experienced losses in the last month or so. And so what can we say to our friends that will help them?
That's a good question, too. You know, in my training as a grief recovery coach, I learned that there's a distinction, whether it's a friend or family member, there's a distinction between the intellectual and the emotional pieces that are associated with grief. So, for example, if that well-meaning friend or that relative offers the comment that, you know, at least he's not in pain anymore, or bless your heart, at least you know she's in a better place right now. Those kinds of statements may indeed be true. I mean, we certainly don't want our loved ones to linger in pain or to be uncomfortable, but those statements really speak to that intellectual part of us, and they do nothing to heal the heart and the emotional component. So I say, when you're talking to someone whose heart is really hurting this year, to just simply ask them what they need. How would they like to honor the memory of their loved one? And then be willing to not judge their answer or be disappointed if their answer has nothing to do with you. You know, you may be prepared to go with them to the cemetery or to sit through a session of clearing out that stuff that Julie's going to be talking about. But that may not be what they really need or want. And so I think being that good friend is really about being willing to hear the truth and support them no matter what, you know. Or to just turn it around and share what you're feeling. You know, I hate that Grandpa isn't here this year. I can't believe he's not going to be singing in the choir this year. You'll notice that kind of statement doesn't really require a response. So if your friend isn't ready to talk about it, they can move on to another topic or, you know, just not have to get into the discussion. But hopefully they'll hear you, and that will give them permission to share a little bit more honestly about what's going on with them.
All right. Well, I was talking with one of my good friends earlier today on the phone, and I was telling her that I was doing this call, and she was saying, oh, that's such a great topic because, you know, it's so hard for us to get through the holidays when we're grieving. And she's in a situation right now where her father-in-law is about to, they've kind of gone home to wait for him to die. So I know that this is a very close to the bone situation for her. So what suggestions do you have when we're speaking with grieving people on how can we how can a grieving person get through the holidays?
Yeah, well, I do have some very practical things that we can do that also help us with the emotions. And if you want to take notes on this part especially, I think that it could be helpful because I broke this down into some of the tasks and opportunities that come up during the holidays. Like, for example, baking. I think it's time to look at if this is one of your traditions or not, and do you really feel up to it, you know? So maybe this year, instead of making five big casseroles or dishes, you could make just one and kind of save your energy, you know, for some other things and ask your family to understand that. I also think it's important because when we miss someone, it heightens the relationships that we have with others. And so to decide now, who are the special people that you really want to share some quality time with this year? And to make that decision now, so that you can get on each other's schedule, you know, you can plan your activities together in plenty of time. And I did this, I'll tell you, it was back many years ago, but when I was at my poorest financially, and I didn't have money for a lot of gifts, but I did have the unlimited long-distance plan on my landline phone. And so I told people what I would really enjoy is if we could just share an hour on the telephone together. Much like we're doing tonight, and to really connect and keep each other up to date on what was happening in our lives. And, you know, that meant so much to them. And I thought, wow, what a simple thing to do, but it really gave us a chance to affirm our friendship and, you know, keep up. So being able to make those plans and decisions now, I think, is really important. And, you know, everybody can take back a sweater that doesn't fit, but you can't take back the time of being truly present with those that you care about. And I think that's one of the gifts of loss is that we do value those people and our time so much more as a result. Let's see. Oh, children's vacation days. You know, the kids, the grandkids are getting out of school. Who's going to be responsible for transporting them to their activities? Are you feeling up to that? What are some ways that you could honor their emotions and feelings over the loss of their special person? I don't know. Maybe you make a tree ornament together, and while the child is in the midst of that craft project, he or she begins talking about the memories or, you know, why he or she chose this particular picture to draw, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Sharing the family photo album with them and sharing stories about their loved one. Could be a really nice time for them to talk about their memories or just to laugh about the silly clothes that people wore back then, you mm-hmm. know. Kind of letting them take the lead that way is good. But being aware of when they're going to be around and underfoot and how you want to handle that. And then presents. I talked about presents and the cards. Mm-hmm. You know, is that something you're even up to this year? Who will be on your list? And then also to consider, I was very aware of this with my mom's death. Are there some people on the list that you're not in regular contact with, but they would be appreciative to learn of your loved one's passing? You know, mm-hmm. maybe writing a personal note to tuck into their card would mean a lot so that they're not shocked, you know, to mm-hmm. learn or to see that return address without that other person's name on it. The shopping, I think, is a big one. You know, if you're not feeling up to the crowds at the mall, talk with the adults in your life and decide how you want to handle that. Maybe you ask your grandchild's parent to shop on your behalf this year. A great idea that I've heard is an entire family came together. They bought individual presents for each other each year, but each family member donated the amount of money they would have spent on their deceased loved one and contributed all of that money to a cause that he cared about in his
wow.
memory.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, what a great way to remember him and do some good at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you know. So now is the time to kind of make those decisions and plans so that everybody's on the same page. And then likewise with the parties and the social events, to be really honest with yourself about what ones you want to accept and the ones that you can politely decline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, being honest with yourself and with the potential host, I'd be polite and go ahead and RSVP, but I'd put a caveat on it and say, you know, these days I just never know for sure how I'm going to feel. Could I call you a little bit closer to the
mm-hmm.
party and let you know? I think just being honest that way is, people appreciate that. And it's nice to know that you're included, but they'll certainly understand if you don't feel mm-hmm. up to it. And let's see what else. Got a bunch of notes here. Two more categories. Spiritual time. If you have a favorite church home or synagogue and they have special services throughout the holidays, making sure that those are recorded in your planner or your calendar on your iPhone. And how much of that do you really want to participate in? You know, maybe you can't stand the idea of hearing those familiar hymns again, you know, mm-hmm. or sitting through the children's Christmas pageant, you know, because you used to do that with the loved one who's no longer here. Well, that's okay, because we're going to give ourselves permission to design it differently this year. For you, maybe you're more comfortable reading the Christmas story in the Bible upstairs in the privacy of your bedroom, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you want to light your menorah in the den away from the living room festivities. That's okay. However you choose to do it this year is fine. And you'll know what to do. I believe we have this inner guidance that, you know, can remind us and assure us. And if you feel like you're going to hurt people's feelings by not showing up at church or a special gathering, see if you're willing to compromise and then offer that option. So when your grandchild cries that you won't be there to see her fly around as an angel this year, you can express your result and your regret and just maybe offer to meet her at the punch and cookie reception afterwards, or, you know, invite mm-hmm. her to spend the night with you so she can tell you all about it later and you can
okay.
still be part of it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, I think the real key is, and it's really one of my main tips, is to just be honest about our feelings and then give ourselves and others permission to express them in appropriate ways.
All right. Well, those are great ideas. Is there anything else that we can do?
Well, let's see. Yeah, I guess this would be a good time to talk about the book, because that would certainly be helpful. But the very first thing I really would love for you to do is to sign up to get my free newsletter. It's going to be coming out weekly starting in December. I'm very excited. I just had such a great response to it. And I was a little nervous about moving into a weekly distribution because, you know, in these days of spam and overloaded inboxes, I didn't want to be just one more email waiting to be read. But one of my subscribers had a great way of looking at it, and she said, you know, people read daily devotionals, so why wouldn't they read helpful ideas and tips for getting through grief on a weekly basis?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, that kind of seals the deal. Mm-hmm. I think I'll do that. So I encourage people to take advantage of that, and because I do dislike spam so much, I promise you're not going to get 50,000 emails from me within the next week. But that's available at the Life Preservers GriefSupport.com website, and that's the box in the upper right-hand corner. And then the book, I really think this is going to be helpful. I'm very excited about it. And I piloted the questions in the book with a support group that I led a few months ago. And what we did was we put each question on a strip of paper and threw them into a basket. And then each person drew one and shared their response. And it really opened up some great discussion. And
great.
So I think that this is really going to be helpful throughout the year, not just at the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's selling for $14.97. But what I want to do is offer it to our listeners for a discount of $2. So it'll be $12.97. And that way it's affordable, so you can share it with others in the family or buy one
Absolutely.
For your church library or, you know, whatever. But because it's not published yet, it'll be 2 weeks. But since it isn't published yet, my shopping cart isn't set up. So let's just keep things simple. If you are interested in the book, again, just go to the Life Preservers GriefSupport.com website and then to the Get in Touch tab, and you can just send me an email, tell me what you need, and then my assistant will call you as soon as the books are in, and we will get them shipped to you, get your credit card information, or however you want to handle payment. I think that's just the simplest way to do it.
Oh, that sounds
right
like
now.
A very good
yeah.
way to do it.
Yeah. So those will be helpful. You know, the 4th of July barbecue,
mm-hmm.
the anniversary of your loved one's death, or on their birthday, just to really remember and honor that person in your heart. And so let's just make that part of our holiday celebration, and I'll extend that offer through November 30th. So that those who listen to the recording later can still take advantage of the discount.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what about the children? They may have lost a favorite grandparent or other relative. I know my children were quite young when their father died. So how do we deal with kids and help them to understand?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this, we kind of mentioned some of the ideas when I was talking about the creative outlets or the practical projects to do with them. But I think more than the busy work of an activity, I think it's important that we just kind of step back and take our lead from them. And as you know, kids are pretty smart,
mm-hmm.
and they sense what grown-ups are feeling a lot of times sooner than we know ourselves. So I just kind of warn people and say, don't be surprised if in the middle of that family dinner or while you're opening the presents, the young one in your life just blurts out, you know, Grandpa Bob is dead and that's why he's not here to open presents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could bring a party to a close, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at Grandma to see if she's going to lose it, and, mm-hmm. and that would be uncomfortable. So we just need to be ready with some questions or statements of our own, and you know, a simple response like, you're right, he is, and,
mm-hmm.
and I sure miss him, and I bet you do too. you know, then the child has the opportunity to say, yes, I really do, or pass the potatoes, or mm-hmm. wherever he or she wants to go from there. And I think the important thing is that you've allowed a space for them to express their thoughts, ask their questions, and honor their feelings. And this time when we have so many responsibilities and we want to make sure that we stay in control of our emotions and all the busyness around us, that can be a hard thing to do, but it can also be very rewarding to just let go and trust that child and their process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I know it's thrown a wrench in quite a few public events and occasions, but honoring them for the wisdom and light that they are, because they'll be on to other things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to remember that discussion. They'll be on to the toys and all the other things that excite them at this time of year.
All right. Excellent. And is there... So because you're saying it depends on each child, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
there might some child, in the case of losing, you know, someone that they were really close to, there might be some child who wants to go and do all the things that we always did, even
Absolutely.
Though...
Absolutely.
And then there might be another type of child that would say, you know, this is the time where we have to create a new tradition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
So
and
you're saying
so
the only way we'll know that is to listen to them.
Absolutely. Yes. And then that's another way that trusted friend who wants to be so helpful to you can be of service. You know, maybe you ask them to let your grandchild come and stay with them for the afternoon while the family goes and visits the cemetery and does some of those other traditional things that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've certainly got a positive attitude about this, and I think that I'm guessing a couple of reasons why that might be, but one of them is that you've had so many losses yourself. So
mm-hmm.
can you tell us a little bit about how you came to be able to see death as something that we want to transform from the grief
mm-hmm.
and the loss to the celebration?
You know, I'm really grateful to my mom. I feel like it was in her dying process that she gave me this great last gift, and that experience put me on a very clear and new spiritual path
mm-hmm.
and showed me how I could shift my beliefs about death. I also counseled cancer and AIDS patients and saw that the biggest concern they had was about dying.
Mm-hmm.
But once they made some decisions about it, then they could get on with living.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by decisions, I don't mean, you know, the day and time that they're going to die,
mm-hmm.
but being able to discuss in a safe space, who do I want with me when that time comes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I do feel comfortable in a hospital bed more than I do at home. Because of pain control or, you know, the security
mm-hmm.
of knowing you're being checked on regularly. Whatever those desires were, if they could voice those and share them with the family, then they could put their attention toward living.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a powerful lesson for me. And, you know, of course, recognizing that life is precious and every death that you have reminds you of that. So I wanted to make sure that I could be part of that transformation as well and kind of reap some, in odd ways, some benefits from it. You know, we get and give instructions about learning to drive or buying a house. And there's a recipe for how to bake a cake, but nobody really instructs us in how to die. And
mm-hmm.
so there's fear, and that's understandable. But yet every religion that I've ever studied has some belief in a form of an afterlife. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm left wondering, if we truly believe these doctrines and these ideals, then what's the problem, you
mm-hmm.
know? And each loss just reminds us that time is precious, like I said. And so we can see our loved one moving on to this next level of beingness, and we get the gift of remembering to truly live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my personal belief system, but I don't want to take this life for granted. You know, I want to do all that I can and know that the next adventure is going to be even better. So it's just kind of shaped my outlook.
Well, I can certainly understand that. I know that years ago when I was studying psychology and I don't remember which of my psychology classes it was, but the professor started talking about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Yes.
And her book on death and dying, and then the stories that they told about the people who made a pact with their loved one, you know, something like, if there is an afterlife, I'll make the flowers on this bush bloom, and then the flowers bloom. You know, those kind of stories that I learned in college, you know, so not from a religious point of view, but from an educational point of view, those were the types of things that for me made me say, okay, I believe there is an afterlife, and therefore I can be much more accepting and not so much in grief over death, because I realize that it's just going on to another stage.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that again is part of, I think, the deep core of who we are, but the flip side is we're still human, and that's where the missing and the hurt comes from. And so, if anything, it's a time to be really gentle with ourselves and tune in to our own bodies and guidance system in terms of what it is we need in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, going from that warm and fuzzy side of things, now I'm going to feel a little bit guilty about this side of the question.
Uh-oh.
But what about the deceased relative that we've never particularly liked in the first place? So it's not that we're happy that they're gone, but, you know, maybe we just didn't have a real connection with them. So do we pretend like we're really sad at the family dinner because we think that's how we should behave, or do we just not say anything and eat more turkey?
Oh, Anne, you've been peeking into my family, haven't you?
I think all of us have families like that, Anne.
We do, I know. Well, it can be an awkward situation, I know. But so what I tell people is to be what I call kindly honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to acknowledge that you're feeling a little strange about the situation, and being able to just share and say, you know, if he were here, he'd probably be complaining about the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I sure don't miss hearing that, but it is kind of odd not to have him here this year, or to be there for the rest of the family, you know, to just simply say, I know you guys were closer to Uncle Joe than I was, so I'm sorry if you're having a tougher time with this holiday and his loss. And I hope you know that even though Uncle Joe and I didn't really see eye to eye, I want to support you however I can. So if there's something I can do for you, I hope you'll let me know. I think that's probably the kindest way to handle that, because everybody knew anyway that you and Uncle Joe weren't the best of buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sense dancing around it.
Right. And on the other hand, we don't want to have our relatives who we care about as well think that we have no, you know, feelings, that we're
exactly hard. Yes.
Cold.
Absolutely.
People. We don't want to be considered hard and cold people.
That's right. I'm thinking of my dear elderly Aunt Lois, who died 3 years ago last week, and she just was not the one I went to for those warm fuzzies, you know, but she certainly had her strengths, and I can respect those and appreciate them, and so those are the things that I talk about with my cousins, and we can still remember her in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, since part of this whole discussion has been, you know, the holiday, getting through the holidays, and a lot of people have holiday traditions, you know, family holiday traditions might vary from one family to the other, but, you know, just about every family has some kind of tradition. So do you think that we should, and you've talked a little bit about this, but I'd like to discuss it further. Do you think that we should honor all of the things that the deceased relative or friend did to make the holidays what they are or were, and keep doing those things, or is this the time, as I said before, that we say, let's go to Disneyland?
Amen. Yeah, I'm for that. Oh, no, that's, I'm laughing because the question is is appropriate. That's true. And I think our traditions, you know, they anchor us to the people and the past that made us who we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does deserve to be honored. But I'm laughing because I did this very same thing the first Christmas after my mom died. And, you know, as you mentioned, my dad and other men, grandfathers and uncles, had died when I was very young. So mm-hmm. I'm an only child, and so it was just me and my mom and some other assorted older relatives for many years. And so after she died, I thought I would do the holiday as she had done it. So I sent Christmas cards to her friends and to mine, and I pulled out all the recipes and made the same dishes that she did, and I invited the same relatives over for Christmas Eve dinner. You know, never mind that I'd hardly spoken to them the rest mm-hmm. of the year. And I cleaned and slaved over the house like she did, and I hated every minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year I thought, okay, things are going to be different. So that year, I still, you know, took a little gift to the relatives, and I think we had turkey sandwiches a couple of days after Christmas, but for Christmas itself, I invited about six friends over, and I realized after I'd done that, the only thing that they had in common was me. They
mm-hmm.
didn't know each other at all,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought I'd invite them because they would probably be alone, too,
mm-hmm.
and so they all show up, and instead of this nice festive dinner, it just turned into this whining session. A couple of them were newly divorced. One had had a death a few months before, and, you know, you get it. It was pretty depressing. And so the next year after that, I told myself, I'm going to spend Christmas Day the way I want to this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go to church, and then I'm going to come home, and I'm going to spend the day in bed reading a good book. Well, I never made it to church, and I didn't feel like reading because I was sick as a dog with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
I did spend the day in bed, that's for
right.
sure.
Yeah.
And so that was the year I definitely would have taken Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
So my point in all of that is what I've learned is that we really just have to honor the desires of our heart. And, yes, it does make a difference when there are children and other adults involved. And in that case, I'd say have a family meeting tomorrow and seriously just talk honestly with them about what their expectations are for this year's celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be surprised to find out that everybody secretly hated the tradition that you thought meant the most to them. And so
mm-hmm.
by willing to have this open conversation, you'll be able to let go of a lot and design a holiday that will be truly worth loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think just being open and willing to hear it and to share it is really important.
All right. Excellent. Well, I'm sure you've got some other resources that can, you know, we'll talk about the holiday season, jingle our bells.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
help the person who is grieving because, you know, you've got so much content on your website.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. I just shifted over to a WordPress site, and so that I know that you understand all this website building stuff. And so that was quite a chore, and it's still in process. So
mm-hmm.
I'll be loading a lot more articles and so forth onto the site. But I want to get my holiday spirit right now. And so I have a tips booklet. It fits in a number 10 envelope. And it's called Riding the Waves, Tips for Caregiver Grieving. And the tips in this booklet really speak to the emotional part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they came as a result of my frustration with everyone making those intellectual, you know, comments to me. So these are practical and emotional ways of coping with the feelings that grief brings us. And I would like to send a copy of that booklet to your listeners tonight. That'll just kind of be my holiday present for you guys. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, probably the best way to handle that, if you want to claim your copy, is just do the same thing and head to lifepreserversgriefsupport.com and go to that Get in Touch tab. And in the message box, you can just tell me that you are on this call and that you want to request your free booklet. I'll need to get your snail mail address in that form so I can mail it to you. And if you're not comfortable giving that information, I totally get that. That's not a problem. You could just call me tomorrow and we'll take care of it over the phone. My number's at the top of that website.
Okay.
And again, I want to assure everybody that I know we've just met, but I really take confidentiality very seriously, and I really do hate spam myself. So I am not going to pass your information on to others or abuse that in any way. But I think that all this information can be of help to you and your family this year, and it would be my pleasure to share that with you.
Well, that's wonderful. So you've got many reasons now for people to get back to your website after this call.
Yeah,
and,
I hope they do.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to get to a moment here where we can let some of our listeners ask some questions, but before we do that,
sure.
I'd like to ask you if you have a holiday mantra that you use to get through your own holiday time, because as you've said, you have lost both of your parents, and so you've and apparently other relatives as well. So,
All right, here are two actually. The first one is I want to affirm that all is calm and all is bright, and that kind of helps anchor me in the craziness and busyness of the season. And then after a hectic day shopping and partying with friends and celebrating the season and taking care of business at the same time, I think I'd have to say the second one is rest in heavenly peace.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a very holiday theme to your answers there.
Yeah, right. Well, it is. It's just such a wonderful time, but it can also be a painful time. And I just hope that our listeners have gotten some ideas of how they might do it a little bit differently this year so they can feel some of that peace as well.
All right. I'm going to open the call now so that all of our guests can talk.
Mm-hmm.
You can press star 6 as if you're a listener and that you want to mute yourself, but the line is open now so everybody can be heard. So does anyone have a question that they'd like to ask Ann?
Or maybe they have a holiday tip and how they managed loss in the past few years themselves.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, we could certainly have people that have some other ideas, and that adds to our group knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since I'm not hearing anybody, I'll give everybody a chance to think a little bit more about their questions, and perhaps you could share with us a couple of the questions from your book, because I've realized as you've talked about the book that it's a series of questions and answers. So
yes,
can share a few of those.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's see. Let me get my copy here. Okay. If, and then I have blanks where you would put in the name of your loved one. So if Uncle Joe were here today, what would he tell you to do about a situation that you're concerned about? Okay? A lot of times we think he was my go-to person for advice. He always had the right thing to say or do. And that even heightens the loss when we're in a time of challenge. And so being able to recognize that you can still call on that wisdom that your loved one shared with you, either through prayer, meditation, or just, you know, taking some time to journal what you think they would say to you. The simplicity of that can just really help you feel calm and connected. So that's one example. Let's see. How did you find out about his or her death? I think that's an important question to share, because in the midst of our pain, people may judge, you know, well, she doesn't seem as upset about this as I think she should be feeling. Well, if that's someone who's been ill for many, many years, yes, again, we go into that physical space where we physically miss them being here, but we've also had that time to kind of, on some level, prepare a bit, so it's not as much of a shock as, you know, discovering someone dead on the bathroom floor, for example. Mm-hmm. So being aware of how we were given the news or how we discovered the loss can help others understand where we're coming from in our response. So I like that one. And then I also look at the advice. What's one thing he or she told you that you've always remembered?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that doesn't have to be helpful advice. It could just be something you remember them saying over and over that you always disagreed with. But it can, by sharing your responses to that question, it can kind of enlighten you as to the level of coping that your other loved ones are experiencing. And that can be interpreted in both positive or negative way. So, again, having a discussion around that can provide some insight to the family dynamics as well. And do you think he or she was afraid of anything? Yeah, that's an interesting question, I think. Because we all have fear at some point, right?
Oh, I think couldn't be human without having fear at some point.
Yeah. And so learning about the ones that your loved one had, again, teachable moments and how to respond and how to move through those fears. And then you can start to see how their fear influenced your own life choices. So those are just some of the questions.
All right.
Just kind of different.
It sounds like it would really get some discussion going.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a great book.
Oh, here's one that I like too. Do you know how he or she was disciplined as a child?
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. And times change, and how we handle things or handled them years ago or is totally different from how things are handled now. So being able to talk about discipline and making some decisions on how you'd like to incorporate some of those older rules and kind of the boundaries that were in place, or which ones felt too restrictive. You know, it opens up that whole discussion as well. So,
excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a little bit of everything in here.
All right. Well, it sounds like a book I can't wait to get myself a copy of, and
yes.
I can't wait till it comes out. And remember, I'm going to say it again here for those of you listening on the call. The lines are open, so that means any of you can speak up at any time and ask a question, and Ann and I are happy to, well, I'm not going to answer any of them, but she'll be happy to answer any of them for you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not hearing anybody jumping in here, so I'll ask you another question, Ann.
Okay.
What's the first thing that you have your clients do to start working through their grief?
Well, like we talked about, you know, the toughest part, I think, is that it reminds us that we're human. And we know that everyone dies, and again, we have those religious or spiritual beliefs that we talked about earlier, but we're still just human, and that can bring on anything from depression to anger, shock, all of those emotions that Kubler-Ross talked about. And, you know, I want to make a clarification there. This is something I've learned in my study, those five stages of death that she's so famous for. She never intended for those five stages to be taken literally. Okay?
All right.
So it's not this working up the ladder of emotion, we're going to be floating back and forth between acceptance and anger and denial and anger, you know, so we can lighten up on ourselves about that as well. And to realize that that's exactly what grief is, right? We never know when it's going to hit us.
Mm-hmm.
People assume that the holidays are going to be particularly tough. But I have to tell you, for me, with my mom, we used to love getting the Neiman Marcus catalog and dreaming about the items that we wanted, you know. So when that catalog arrived in an average day in June, I was a basket case, you know. I had to let those memories and feelings out for a time before I could move on and get on with the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just part of the process. But what we do when we start working together is to acknowledge those feelings and then just kind of poke around a little bit and see where there's an opening that might be available to some good thoughts and some good feelings. And that usually starts with gratitude, which is why it's just perfect that we're on this call during this month of Thanksgiving. And we express that gratitude for the person that we've lost, and then we start to identify the qualities in them that we admire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked about my elderly aunt. She had a lot of qualities I admired. And so I made a list of those, and then I have you start looking at how the qualities that you admired in your loved one are expressing in your own life today.
Mm-hmm.
And if they aren't and you'd like them to be, how can you begin to incorporate them? And then we can see that the person we lost is never really gone. They live on through our lives, and we become a living, breathing memorial to them. And I just find that comforting, and it seems to really strike a good chord with my clients. It's just a mindset shift and a new awareness that really seems to help a lot of people.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little bit of curiosity about the direction that you're going with your organization. And
yes.
Because I know that I said in the introduction that you're moving away from working exclusively with individuals to creating this global movement to help professionals. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to hear a little bit more about how that's going or how it's going to go.
Yes, yes, it's very exciting. I certainly believe that, you know, we as individuals can benefit from the Life Preservers process, but I'm finding, too, that being able to better support the funeral home directors, the chaplains, the social workers, the oncology nurses, and teaching them this process is going to have even a greater reaching impact. And I'm really putting out the call for anyone with us tonight, listening to the recording, anyone who has an interest in this field and is willing to be this ambassador, if you will, of this new movement to help people come to terms with death and, as we say, shift your beliefs and use it as a transforming, life-giving experience. I have four steps to that process that includes, it ends with celebration and it begins with communicating. And just as we've done tonight, to just begin to open up that conversation and help those helping professionals find an even more personal and highly impactful way to do that. It's just been my joy. So I see this huge wave where very soon we're going to be able to have these kinds of discussions in an open and frank manner, just like the environment you've created for us tonight, Anne, where people can work through these issues and set that example for the next person. And what a wonderful, wonderful planet that will be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. We can truly celebrate one another and release each other to the next step of the journey.
Well, I hope that there are people on the call that will be answering you with telling you that they are interested in assisting you with that new direction.
Yes, I see that happening.
Anyone want to speak up and ask a question? Because we're getting close to time to close the call here, so I'm giving you your last chance to ask Anne a question.
If you're uncomfortable with that or you're just not sure how to word it, you're welcome to call me during business hours, even on the weekends. I'm at Central Standard Time, so I appreciate not receiving a call at 11 o'clock at night. But I'm very approachable, so feel free to call me.
Your phone
email.
Number is very prominently listed on your website. So
it's all about a human heart-to-heart connection, and I think that's how we learn and grow together.
Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, Anne, it's been great talking with you today. Thank you for being my guest and for the great discussion on surviving holiday grief and these information from your book, which I think people will find a great conversation starter for getting through the holidays with, as you said, starting a death discussion when all you'd rather do is clam up. I think that's a wonderful name for the book. So let me say again, Anne's website is located at lifepreserversgriefsupport.com, and that's where you can go to sign up for her free weekly e-zine and get the audio that she mentioned. Mm-hmm. And again, her new book is Come Out of Your Shell, Questions to Start a Death Discussion When All You'd Rather Do Is Clam Out. And I believe it's coming out November 19th. And as she said, you can contact her regarding the pre-orders through the website. I wrote down
the contact form.
The contact form is where you would go. Anyone listening who would like to contact Anne about that. Anything else that you'd like to make sure that we know about, Anne, before we close the call?
Well, just take advantage of my gift of the tips booklet, because that's something you can get immediately. I can put it in the mail on Saturday, and you will have it right away to begin incorporating those helpful tips into the coming weeks as well.
Excellent.
Yeah. What fun. This has been great. It's so nice to meet you in person finally.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the best parts about, I think, this position is, I love my name, Boomer in Chief. I made that up. But I think one of the best parts about it is the opportunity to meet the wonderful women boomers that are out there and learn about the wonderful work that we're doing. And yours is a very important work, and I'm glad to give everybody a chance to know more about it. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Anne, for being my guest, and thank you to all of our listeners. Quiet as you were, for joining us. And to everyone, again, happy Veterans Day today, and enjoy the coming holidays. And that's all for today. Thank you, and goodbye.